Welcome back to the UAP Research Deep Dive with UAP Caucus. You know, today we're diving into some really fascinating research about UAP.
Unidentified Aerospace Undersea Phenomena.
Right. UAP, what a lot of people still call UFOs.
Yeah.
And we've got this research paper that really digs into the science behind it all.
That's right. It's called The New Science of Unidentified Aerospace Undersea Phenomena, UAP. And it goes way beyond like those, you know, those late night UFO documentaries.
Yeah, yeah.
It really takes a hard look at how scientists are studying these unexplained events these days.
And I think what's really cool about this paper is that it shows how UAP research is shifting.
Yeah.
From just like, you know, fuzzy photos and eyewitness accounts
right.
to a much more rigorous and scientific approach.
Absolutely. I mean, for a long time, UAP research was stuck in what you might call like a cold case mode.
Okay.
Right. So you're trying to solve individual mysteries.
Right.
But not really building like a framework for understanding the phenomenon as a whole.
So like trying to figure out a puzzle, but without all the pieces.
Exactly. Yeah. You're never going to see the full picture that way. But this paper is arguing that we need to approach UAP research the same way we would approach any other scientific field, with long-term studies, standardized methods,
okay,
and a real focus on collecting solid data.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So then what are some of the ways
yeah.
that scientists are actually bringing this more rigorous approach to UAP research?
Well, one really interesting example is the use of something called multi-messenger astronomy.
Multi-messenger astronomy.
Yeah.
I feel like I've heard that before, but
you probably have.
Refresh my memory.
It's often used in the study of distant stars and galaxies.
Okay, yeah.
But the principles behind it
yeah.
can actually be applied to UAP research as well.
Okay.
So in astronomy, scientists will combine observations from all different kinds of sources. You know, telescopes that detect light detectors that can pick up gravitational waves.
Mm.
And this gives them like a much more complete picture
okay.
of what's happening out there in the cosmos.
So how does that apply to UAP?
Yeah.
We're not exactly talking about light years and black holes here.
True. But we are talking about trying to understand something that we don't fully comprehend.
Right.
And just like in astronomy,
yeah.
using multiple tools and perspectives
Good.
Can be incredibly valuable.
Got it.
So instead of just relying on eyewitness accounts
yeah.
or blurry photos, you know, researchers are now using a whole suite of instruments to study UAP. We're talking about radar, high-resolution cameras, sensor networks that can detect electromagnetic changes, anything that can capture data about these events.
So it's like a detective showing up at a crime scene.
Yeah.
With a whole forensics team.
Exactly.
Instead of just a magnifying glass.
I like that analogy. And, you know, having all that data
right.
allows scientists to analyze these UAP events in a much more objective and comprehensive way.
And this paper also emphasizes that this isn't just a modern fad, right?
Oh, absolutely not.
That people have been documenting UAP for centuries.
Yeah, UAP sightings go way back, long before anyone was talking about flying saucers.
Right.
In fact, the paper actually mentions this account from the late 1800s by an explorer named Mary Kingsley. She was traveling in West Africa.
Oh, yeah, I read about that.
And witnessed something really extraordinary.
He was like those glowing orbs coming out of a lake or something.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, like straight out of a movie.
She described these orbs as being about the size of like a small orange, and they were emitting this violet light.
Wow.
What makes her account so interesting is that it suggests that these objects were able to move seamlessly between air and water.
Yeah.
This, what they call transmedium capability, is something that's really puzzled researchers for decades.
It really challenges our understanding of physics.
It does.
And technology, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, it highlights how much we still don't know about UAP.
Okay, so we're starting to get a sense of how UAP research is becoming more scientific.
Mm.
But who is actually doing this research? Is it all top secret government stuff?
Well, there are definitely government agencies involved, particularly in the U.S.
Right.
The paper mentions programs like ATIP.
ATIP.
Yeah, the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, which was this covert Pentagon program.
Oh, wow.
That investigated UAP.
Okay.
And that program eventually led to the creation of the UAP Task Force.
Right.
And most recently, the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, or ARO.
Right. So those are the folks that are supposed to be taking this seriously now.
Yeah.
But it sounds like maybe the U.S. government is playing a bit of catch-up compared to some other countries.
That's true. The paper highlights the work of Gpenje Penn, which is a French government organization that's been actively collecting and analyzing UAP reports for decades.
Wow.
So in France, there's been like a much more open and transparent approach to UAP research.
It's so interesting how different countries are handling this.
Yeah.
But it does seem like there's at least a growing international recognition that UAP are worth studying.
Oh, absolutely. And beyond government agencies, there are a growing number of like academic institutions and private research groups getting involved. For example, there's Project Hestalen in Norway, which has been studying these unexplained lights in the Hestalen Valley for over 40 years.
Wow.
They've collected a ton of data using radar cameras, all kinds of instruments, and they've made some pretty fascinating observations.
So it's not just about chasing lights in the sky anymore.
Right.
It's about setting up long-term research stations and using scientific methods to try and figure out what's going on.
Precisely. And that's a major shift in how we're approaching this field as a whole.
Yeah. This is all incredibly interesting. But I have to admit, some of this stuff can get pretty technical.
Sure.
So how are scientists actually making sense of all this data? How do they know if they're looking at a real UAP versus, say, like a weather balloon or a drone?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
And it really gets at the heart of the challenge in UAP research. The paper highlights the need for rigorous data analysis methods to separate the signal from the noise, so to speak.
Okay.
So how do you actually do that?
Yeah, what are the techniques?
Well, there are a number of approaches. For instance, there's this group called the UAlbany UAPX Collaboration, and they're using these statistical analysis techniques inspired by particle physics.
Particle physics.
Yeah.
That sounds a little intense. How did that even apply to UAP?
Well, think of it this way. In particle physics, scientists are trying to detect incredibly rare events, things like the Higgs boson.
Okay.
They do this by smashing particles together at these incredibly high speeds and looking for tiny anomalies in the resulting data.
Okay. Yeah, I vaguely remember that from like high school physics.
Yeah.
But what does that have to do with UAP?
Well, the UAlbany UAPX team is taking a similar approach.
Okay.
So they're applying these statistical methods to these large data sets of UAP reports, looking for patterns and anomalies that are unlikely to occur just by chance. They're essentially looking for the UAP equivalent of the Higgs boson, a statistically significant signal that can't be explained away by conventional means.
Wow, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
So they're borrowing tools from a completely different field of science to try and unlock the mysteries of UAP.
Exactly.
It seems like there's a real effort to bring like a level of rigor and objectivity to this field that maybe hasn't always been there in the past.
Absolutely. And that's really what this paper is all about. Showcasing this emergence of a new, more scientific approach to UAP research.
Yeah, this is all incredibly exciting. And I'm sure our listener is eager to hear more about the specific organizations and projects at the forefront of this new scientific frontier. But before we dive into that, let's take a quick moment to recap what we've learned so far.
Sure. We've been talking about how UAP research is becoming more scientific.
Yeah.
And, you know, a key aspect of that is this increasing focus on data analysis.
Mm. Right. We've got all these new tools and technologies for collecting data.
Right.
But then the question becomes, what do you do with all that information?
Yeah.
How do you make sense of it all?
Exactly. And that's where organizations like the Galileo Project come in.
Okay.
They're really pushing the boundaries of what's possible in terms of UAP data analysis.
The Galileo Project. Now, that name rings a bell.
Yeah.
That's the one led by Avi Loeb at Harvard,
right? This is the one Loeb and his team are taking a very data-driven approach.
Okay.
They're using algorithms and artificial intelligence to sift through these massive data sets looking for patterns and anomalies.
So instead of just having like a bunch of scientists sitting there staring at spreadsheets,
You're
letting the computers do the heavy lifting.
Exactly. AI is incredibly good at spotting patterns that humans might miss.
Right.
And it can analyze these vast amounts of data much faster and more efficiently than any human could.
That makes sense. And the Galileo Project isn't just looking at any data. They're specifically focused on searching for technosignatures, right?
Yeah, right. Technosignatures are essentially any signs of technology that could indicate a non-human origin.
Okay.
So think things like radio signals, unusual heat patterns, or even structures that appear too complex or too precise to be natural.
So they're not just looking for weird lights in the sky.
Right.
They're looking for evidence of advanced technology that could suggest we're not alone in the universe.
Exactly. And that's a really important distinction.
Yeah.
Because if we do find evidence of extraterrestrial technology, it would have some pretty profound implications for our understanding of our place in the cosmos.
It would completely change our worldview, wouldn't it?
It would.
But finding these technosignatures, it's got to be like finding a needle in a haystack.
It's definitely a challenge.
Yeah.
But the Galileo Project is using some pretty innovative techniques.
Yeah.
For example, they're analyzing data from existing telescopes and satellites.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also developing new instruments specifically designed to search for technosignatures.
So they're not just waiting for the data to come to them. They're actively going out and looking for it.
Exactly. And that proactive approach is really important.
Yeah.
Because if we want to find evidence of extraterrestrial technology, we can't just sit back and hope it falls into our laps.
I guess not. So the Galileo Project is all about using cutting-edge technology and data analysis to search for these technosignatures.
Right.
But what about the human element in all of this? Are there organizations that are focused on the people who have actually encountered UAP?
Absolutely. The paper talks about the importance of pilot reports and how they can provide really valuable data for UAP research.
You know, I've always been fascinated by those stories from pilots who have seen things in the sky that they can't explain.
Yeah.
But for a long time, those accounts were often dismissed or ridiculed.
Yeah, that's true. There was a real stigma attached to reporting UAP sightings, especially for pilots who are worried about their careers.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
But thankfully, that's starting to change.
It is. Organizations like NARCAP.
NARCAP.
Yeah, the National Aviation Reporting Center on Anomalous Phenomena. They've been working to create a more open and transparent environment for pilots to report their encounters.
So pilots can now come forward without fear of being labeled as crazy or losing their jobs.
Exactly. And that's really important.
Yeah.
Because pilots are highly trained observers.
Right.
They spend a lot of time in the air. They know what they're looking at.
Yeah.
So their reports can be incredibly valuable.
And NARCAP doesn't just collect these reports, they actually analyze them.
Right, they do. They have a team of scientists, engineers, aviation experts who review each report looking for patterns and commonalities.
And what have they found?
Well, one of the things that has emerged from their research is that UAP often exhibit electromagnetic characteristics that can interfere with aircraft instruments.
So we're not just talking about visual sightings.
Right.
These objects can actually have a physical effect on aircraft.
That's right. And that's why it's so important to take these reports seriously.
Yeah.
We need to understand how UAP interact with our technology so we can mitigate any potential safety risks.
Mm, it's a little unsettling to think about, isn't it?
It is.
That these objects could be out there doing things we don't understand and potentially even posing a threat to our aircraft.
It's definitely something we need to be aware of. And that's why organizations like NARCAP are so crucial.
Yeah.
They're helping to bridge the gap between the aviation community and the scientific community.
Right. Because for a long time, those two worlds didn't really talk to each other.
Right.
Pilots were afraid to report what they saw, and scientists were often dismissive of anecdotal evidence.
Exactly. But now we're starting to see a real collaboration.
Mm.
And that's a positive development, because if we want to understand UAP, we need to bring together expertise from different fields.
Right.
We need pilots, scientists, engineers, everyone who can contribute to the conversation.
So we've talked about the Galileo Project and NARCAP.
Yeah.
But there are many other organizations doing important work in this field.
There are. The paper mentions groups like SCU,
yeah,
the Scientific Coalition for UAP Studies. And they've done some fascinating research on UAP activity near sensitive military installations, particularly those related to nuclear weapons.
That's right. They found that there seems to be a statistically significant increase in UAP sightings around nuclear facilities.
They did. And that raises some really interesting questions.
Yeah.
Are these objects interested in our nuclear technology? Are they trying to send us a message? Or is there some other explanation we haven't even considered?
It's definitely a thought-provoking area of research.
It is.
And it highlights the need to consider all possible explanations, even those that might seem far-fetched.
Exactly. We need to be open to all possibilities, because
yeah,
if we're dealing with something truly unknown, we can't afford to rule anything out.
So we've got organizations like the Galileo Project focused on searching for technosignatures.
Right.
NARCAP collecting and analyzing pilot reports.
Mm-hmm.
And SCU investigating UAP activity near nuclear sites.
Yeah.
It seems like there's a real diversity of approaches to UAP research these days.
There is, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Because the more perspectives we bring to the table,
Yeah.
the closer we'll get to understanding this phenomenon.
And it's not just about the present day either.
Right.
The paper also delves into the history of UAP sightings going back centuries.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned Mary Kingsley's encounter in West Africa.
Right.
But there are many other fascinating historical accounts.
Oh, absolutely. For example, there's the 1561 celestial phenomenon over Nuremberg.
Nuremberg?
Yeah, it was witnessed by hundreds of people and depicted in numerous woodcuts.
Wow.
People saw strange objects in the sky. Some described them as spheres, cylinders, and crosses.
Wow.
Others said they were engaged in aerial battles.
Really?
It's a really intriguing case.
Yeah.
And it shows that UAP sightings have been happening for a very long time.
It's amazing to think about how people must have interpreted these events back then, before we had any understanding of modern technology.
It is.
They must have seemed truly miraculous or even terrifying.
It's fascinating to consider, isn't it, how our understanding of the world shapes our perception of these events and how those perceptions have changed over time.
You know, we've been talking about all these different organizations and approaches to UAP research.
Yeah.
But I'm curious, what are some of the specific technologies that are being used to study these phenomena?
Well, one technology that's becoming increasingly important is hyperspectral imaging.
Hyperspectral imaging.
Yeah. Think of it like this. You're looking at a rainbow.
Oh.
We typically see the visible spectrum of light.
Right.
But imagine a camera that could see beyond that.
Okay.
Capturing frequencies we can't even perceive.
Wow.
That's hyperspectral imaging. And it's revealing hidden details about UAP we couldn't see before.
So we're not just limited to what our eyes can see.
Yeah.
You can actually capture data from different parts of the electromagnetic spectrum.
Exactly. And this is crucial.
Yeah.
Because as we've discussed, UAP often exhibit these unusual characteristics.
Yeah.
And our traditional ways of observing the world might not be sufficient to capture their full complexity. Hyperspectral imaging is helping us see things in a whole new light.
That's amazing. It's like we're getting a glimpse into a hidden world.
In a way, we are.
Mm-hmm.
And as technology continues to advance, who knows what other amazing tools we'll develop to study this phenomenon.
Right.
It's an exciting time to be involved in UAP research.
It really is. And one of the things that struck me as we've been talking is that this field is becoming much more interdisciplinary.
It is.
We're seeing physicists, astronomers, engineers, data scientists all working together to try and understand UAP.
That's a great observation. And it's essential.
Yeah.
Because UAP are a complex phenomenon.
Right.
We can't hope to understand them by looking through the lens of just one discipline.
Right.
We need a holistic approach that brings together expertise from multiple fields.
So it's not just about little green men and flying saucers anymore.
Right.
It's about serious science and a genuine effort to understand one of the greatest mysteries of our time.
Exactly. And that's what makes this field so fascinating.
Yeah.
We're on the cusp of potentially making some groundbreaking discoveries.
Mm-hmm.
Discoveries that could change our understanding of the universe and our place in it.
It's a really exciting time.
It is.
But as we've seen, there's still many challenges.
Sure.
We're dealing with a phenomenon that is often elusive and unpredictable.
That's true. But we're developing new tools and techniques all the time.
Right.
And with continued research and collaboration, I'm confident that we'll eventually unlock the secrets of UAP.
It's a journey worth taking. And I'm sure our listener is eager to hear more about the potential breakthroughs that lie ahead. But before we delve into the future of UAP research, let's take a moment to reflect on what we've learned so far. So it feels like we've covered a lot of ground, you know, from the history of UAP sightings to the really cutting-edge technology.
Yeah.
It's being used to study them now.
Mm.
But where do we go from here? What does the future hold for this field?
Well, one thing that's clear from this paper is that the future of UAP research is going to be increasingly reliant on technology.
We talked about hyperspectral imaging,
mm-hmm,
and AI-powered data analysis.
Mm-hmm.
But what other kind of technological advancements are on the horizon?
One area that I think holds a lot of promise is the development of these new sensor networks.
Okay.
So imagine like a global network of sensors,
mm-hmm,
both on the ground and in space.
Okay.
That are constantly monitoring for UAP activity.
That would be incredible.
It would be like having this giant UAP detection grid.
Yeah.
Covering the entire planet.
Wow.
And these sensors would be able to collect all sorts of data.
Okay.
Not just visual information, but also radar readings, electromagnetic signatures,
mm-hmm,
acoustic signals, you name it.
So we'd be able to get like a much more complete picture,
mm-hmm,
of these objects than we ever could before.
Exactly. And with the help of AI,
right,
we could actually analyze all that data in real time. We could identify patterns, track movements, and even predict where UAP might appear next.
That sounds like something out of a science fiction movie.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But the technology is already there. It's just a matter of putting it all together.
And it's not just about government agencies and research institutions anymore either, right? Yeah. Citizen science is playing a bigger role.
Oh, absolutely. There are already a number of citizen science projects out there that allow anyone with a smartphone or a computer to actually contribute to this field.
So you're saying, like, we don't have to be, you know, scientists.
Right.
Or government officials to help unravel the mysteries of UAP.
Not at all. There are platforms where you can analyze data report sightings.
Okay.
And even help develop new detection algorithms.
That's pretty amazing. It really kind of democratizes this whole field.
It does. And it's a really valuable contribution because, as we've been discussing, UAP can appear anywhere at any time.
Right.
Having this global network of citizen scientists can help us cast a much wider net and potentially capture data that we would otherwise miss.
It's like having thousands of eyes on the sky, all looking out for something unusual.
Exactly. And that kind of collective effort is going to be really crucial as we move forward.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into the new science of UAP, what's like the key takeaway for our listener? What should they be thinking about?
I think the key takeaway is this. UAP research is at a turning point. We're moving from an era of speculation and secrecy to an era of transparency and scientific rigor. And with the help of these new technologies, global collaboration, and citizen science, we're really on the verge of making some truly groundbreaking discoveries.
It's an incredibly exciting time to be following this field.
It is.
And I have a feeling we're going to be hearing a lot more about UAP in the years to come.
I think you're right. And one final thought to leave you with. As we delve deeper into these mysteries of UAP, we may find that the answers are even more profound and awe-inspiring.
Yeah.
Than we ever imagined.
It's a journey worth taking. And we encourage you to explore the links to the organizations and research projects that we mentioned in this episode. You can find those in the show notes. Until next time, keep looking up.